You are now listening to the Purpose Edit podcast.
You got to be willing to be vulnerable. You have to have the ability to self-assess, and not everybody has the ability to self-assess. You don't necessarily have to like school to be successful in school. You just have to know how to play the game and finesse it and get through it.
Welcome to the Perfect Settings Podcast. This is a short yet powerful conversation designed to help you do three things that can ultimately change the trajectory of your life. One, discover your purpose. Two, walk in your purpose. And three, ultimately fulfill your purpose. I am your host, Coach Vic, and I'm joined as always by my lifelong friend, my brother, the educator, Dr. Shane Calhoun.
Purpose Addicts, what's up? We back. Shane, how you holding up, homie?
I'm good, brother. Good. Just doing all the things that I think I need to do to be successful, or at least I hear people doing to be successful, and just trying.
It sounds like you're copycatting.
No, it's not copycatting. Like, well, is there anything really new under the sun?
No.
Yeah. So, I mean, some call it copycat, others call it following the blueprint.
Okay. How do you know you're following the right blueprint?
That's a good freaking segue to what blew your mind. You really don't. Mm. You really don't, because at the end of the day, you gotta. It's never just like, let's say you had a plan. It's never going to be take your plan, follow it exactly the same way, and it's going to work exactly, because it's different. So, like, you remember I told y'all about my little health scare last episode. So today I went to the doctor to go get back the results of the calcium screening.
Yeah, yeah.
So basically what he told me was I was fat, and we talked about diet. So prior to, you remember I told you that all summer is going to be a shirtless summer.
You did say that.
And how I was going to get there was through juicing. Well, one of the things we talked about in our meeting today is that fruits aren't necessarily the best thing for you because of the sugar.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So he's telling me if you're going to eat it, just eat the fruit. Don't juice it. And I was trying to ask him, well, what if I'm just using water and the natural fruit? But I didn't even get there. I was just like, see, we're always told that fruits is good. So the two conclusions. The first conclusion that I've come to is that sugar and wheat, i.e. carbs, starch, is what puts on the weight.
Absolutely.
That's where it comes from. Problem is, there's sugar and or wheat in everything.
Absolutely, especially in America.
Yeah. So for me, I like fruits and I like juicing. So I really have to cut back on the wheats and the breads. And then the only time I'm really going to take in sugar is through the juicing. So cut out sweets as well. And I have a hell of a sweet tooth. Like, I love cakes and candy. So what I say, so you just have to find what works for you. And then I got to exercise more. Yeah. So that's going to be, my goal is 3 times a week to go do something.
I learned this long time ago, like I think it's like 70% of the key to like losing weight, getting to, you know, a shape that you want to be is in your diet. Mm-hmm. It's like 70% yeah. is your diet. And then like yeah. the other 30 is the actual activity and exercise, right?
Yeah, but that's also new charted territory, because I used to be able to drop weight like this.
Right. But when you get to 40.
Thank you. The body changes. And I have felt a difference in the last year. I'm 39, Carl.
You 40.
I don't get that twisted.
You're 40.
I'm 39.
Your body say you're 40.
I'm 39, okay? Right now, as of this recording. But I felt the difference in this year of 39.
All right. Let me have an honest moment with you about myself.
Okay. All right.
So went to Home Goods with my wife. Want to make that known. I enjoy going to Home Goods. I ain't ashamed of that. Anyway.
Okay.
Forgot something in the car. Had to run out to the car. The car was maybe 7-8 spots away from the front door. I wasn't breathing heavy. But while I was in a light jog, I noticed that I wasn't jogging, like pushing off. Like my run was different. Like I was, you know, you ever seen somebody run with their butt tucked in, like it's up under them?
Yeah.
Instead of their head forward. That's how I noticed I was, there we go again. If you ain't watching the video version, if you ever see this little bubble pop up, I'm getting hacked, but I don't know how. Anyway, I realized that I don't run the same anymore. I run now like I'm trying not to crease my shoes or slip and fall, as opposed to like put my head down and sprint. And that bothered me.
I've noticed a difference in my run as well. And it just feels like my body's going everywhere. Like I can't control my limbs, so I'm just running. That's what it feels like.
It might not even look that way. You might.
It may not look that way.
Just as athletic, just as smooth.
Yeah.
It feels like one of them.
Oh, you. I feel
happy
it.
Happy men that be it. Blowing in the wind.
Yes, yeah, so I'm interested to see my partner Cole Edwards. He plays basketball 2 to 3 times a week with older men. And I'm going to try it one of these days as soon as I can figure out my schedule. I'm interested to see what that feels like.
As my doctor said, when you turn 40, you got to be careful trying events like that out.
Yeah, I know it. But I want to try it.
He broke his wrist playing with his son.
The last time I played with grown men.
His son is a teenager and he failed. He just happened to fall and put his hand down and catch himself and broke his wrist.
Oh, that's what happened to me. I was playing with J Mo one time. The last time I actually caught myself playing, and I fell a couple times in one King of the Hill game, a couple times. So yeah.
Hey, now that I'm thinking about this, I learned this from a bodybuilder about carbs and sugars and all of that. And it was a female bodybuilder, as a matter of fact. She told me, you can have carbs and sugars. She says it's about what time of day that you're taking them in. She was like, if you're going to do carbs, because most people can't avoid, if you're going to do sugars, do them in the morning. So that way, by the time the end of the day rolls around, you've cut yourself off by lunchtime. Yeah. And your body has gone through majority of the day, and you will have burned off what you need.
Well, I think part of that's a good idea, but I think part of my problem is I don't move around as much as I used to when I was coaching and doing. And the other part about it is I think I have to cut some stuff off because it's in so much. So not only are you worried about the sweets, are you worried about the wheats, but when you eat starches, they say the starches digest as sugar. So it's kind of like, I think my best bet is to literally cut something. Like I'm gonna make the, and here's the other thing. It's just another layer of discipline.
Yeah, yeah.
Which to go, I need that turkey. Kind of like my goal for this year is to be more disciplined. Like we you 40, I'm 39, but like we on a I'm in a 10-year window right now.
You keep saying this as if we ain't the same age. Like,
listen, I'm riding this out for 5 more months, my boy.
Hey, you could ride it out, but I guarantee you, when the young folks look at you and they look at me, they both say 40.
40, yeah. That's fine. And they say 40, and I'm gonna say young pup 39. Okay, you'll understand it when you're 39.
The way you hold your cup right now says that you're 42.
Whatever.
Look, let's get into the purpose of today's conversation on Purpose Addicts. And it's kind of relevant to the What Blew Your Mind and what we started out talking about, right? I sent you the question of, are you trying to achieve greatness or avoid disappointment? And I'll tell you where this came from, the context. So I was talking with a young mentee of mine and asking them about their goals. And what they got, you know, planned for this upcoming year, what's the focus, you know, what's the priorities. And what I noticed and what they shared with me were goals that were either not specific, not clear. They didn't have a deadline attached to them. They were just kind of vague. It pushed them, but it didn't really push them out of their comfort zone. And through our conversation, I kind of got ticked off, for lack of a better term. I got ticked off because I was like, you could do more. if you would just push yourself, if you tried harder, right? If you actually zeroed in, focused, you could try harder. And what I can't figure out is, are you actually trying to achieve greatness or just avoid disappointment in setting these low goals, right? So I wanted to have this conversation with you and kick it off by throwing you five scenarios that are borderline in terms of the line between greatness and avoidance of disappointment. And I want to hear your thoughts on where they fall, because I think that they could be either way.
Okay. And I have the most amazing thing at the end of this five. I like the way this is going. Go with it.
Beautiful. Here's number one. Are you trying to achieve greatness or avoid disappointment if you are setting goals that can be achieved without needing any new skills to do so? Which is it, greatness or disappointment?
A running start.
What?
What? No, that's a disappointment. I mean, when I say running smart, running start, momentum.
Okay. Okay. So momentum can carry you through a goal or a destination, but you got to build momentum. And when I put it in the context of, let's say, a young mentee, and many people out there who are just starting out and doing something, they haven't established any momentum.
Yeah. But what if, like we talked about last episode, what if just starting is the step?
So
now, I'm with you when you say this is definitely disappointment.
But I don't know if it is, like, to play devil's advocate.
Yeah.
You set a goal. You have no momentum, but you're going to say, you know what? I'm going to set a goal, or I'm going to set some goals, and I'm going to set goals that are within reach, meaning I don't have to work on and build up any new skills in order to achieve these, so that I can build some momentum. Or is that a person just shortchanging themselves by not stretching?
Okay. What about low-hanging fruit versus high-hanging fruit?
Same idea.
Yeah. So I would definitely say low-hanging fruit, but I would definitely commend you for starting.
Okay. That's fair. Here's scenario two. You ready?
Yep.
Is it working to achieve greatness or avoiding disappointment if you are reinventing yourself and or reinventing your business?
Greatness.
You think that's greatness? Talk to me.
Reinvent. Reinvent's hard, bro. Like today, now I'm in the habit of reading labels for food. Like I'm ODing. I'm reading labels. But one of my, I guess, rituals every time I go to Walmart, which I also have to cut back on, I always get a Celsius and some type of sweets, a honey bun, devil dog. Today I looked at that sucker. I said, oh, I can have the Celsius because it's zero sugar, low calories, energy, whatever. But I can't have that honey bun. So like that reinventing and reprogramming and rewiring the habit is hard, bro. I look at that as, that's a level of greatness when, you know, was it this podcast or another podcast that I was on? Yo, what's the key thing that has to happen in change?
A mindset shift.
Change. Like, you know what I'm saying? So, like, changes, and change is hard. So I believe if you're using the word reinvent, I think that's great.
Let me challenge that for the sake of the show, for the sake of good conversation. Reinventing yourself rather than working on the existing version to enhance it, make it better. Are you avoiding disappointment by just starting something new? You're basically getting a do-over. It's like playing Nintendo, and because you don't like the way this level is going, you hit the reset button, you get all your lives back. Like,
I don't look at reset and reinvent, reset. I think tomato, tomato. I think we're splitting hairs.
But that's just it, right? We in all of this, we talk about perspective, right? How you look at the situation. Yeah. But I'm thinking about, and I'll give you this.
Okay, thing. So let me ask. Sorry,
go for what?
Why do you not think it's greatness?
Again, I'm on the fence with all of these. I can see both sides of it, right?
Okay. So argue the other side, so I can.
The other side is reinventing yourself is simply hiding from the work that needs to be done to improve the existing version. You create a thing. Let's say you have an invention. It kind of works, but it could work better. Instead of working on that invention to make it better and work the way it's supposed to, you roll out a new product, a new invention, put that to the side. That's still back there. That problem still exists. That thing still doesn't work the way it's supposed to. You're avoiding disappointment. That's the argument.
You worked on your website last week, right?
Mm-hmm.
Did you reinvent the website, restructure the website?
Nope.
Or did you
enhance the existing one? Kept pretty much the framework, but we enhanced a couple parts of it. Didn't change the business, didn't change colors. We still profile district, the branding, brand story, all of that's still the same.
I don't look at reinventing as running from existing problems. I guess that's where the disconnect is for me. I look at reinventing as I do look at it as enhancing, kind of.
Yeah, I'm doing my job. If it creates this level of thought and debate, this is good conversation. You ready for number three?
All right, you want next.
Number three, are you working to achieve greatness or avoiding disappointment if you're executing by yourself rather than collaborating with others?
Depends on your reasons for working by yourself.
Okay. Talk to me.
Because some people work by themselves because they feel as though no one else, out of kind of like pride, no one else is going to do it as well as I do, or hiding in the shadows. The other side is that is sometimes you need to work by yourself because maybe you've created a mess. Maybe this is what you have to do and able to get it to that space where you're opening up, last episode we talked about collaboration, I believe, sometimes before you get to that collaboration, you got to build a foundation. Like you want it in a particular spot before you move it to the next place.
Yeah. I agree with you on the answer being, it depends on the context, the goal you're trying to accomplish.
Okay.
The African proverb, if you want to go fast, you go alone. If you want to go far, you go together. I think that some people avoid working with others because they haven't worked on self enough to be able to work well with others.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so it depends on why you're choosing to work by yourself. Are you learning how you work, which is important, before you work with others? Or are you saying nobody's going to do it the way that I do it, right? And so you always just stay to do it yourself.
This one kind of hits home for me because I tend to work by myself and prefer to work by myself is because I hate timelines and I don't want to disappoint other people because I'm a loose cannon and otherwise have no self-control.
You just proved the point of avoiding disappointment, working by yourself.
All right, I know. That's what I'm, that's specifically why I said this hits home with me because...
Yes!
I know that I avoid... I don't like working with people, actually, to be honest with you. I like being to myself, working by myself, which is something that now that this African proverb has come up several times, I may have to investigate a little bit more and dig deeper.
Yeah, I think it's a concept that's worth investigating for self, for any person. If you have a preference to work by yourself, lean into why. Is it because you're avoiding disappointment? And disappointment could be in the form of when you work with others, it's not that they won't do a good job. They just won't do it the way that you do it. Even if y'all get to the same outcome, you would rather see the process be executed the way you would do it, regardless if the outcome is still achieved. So it's like, what is the real reason you prefer to work by yourself? And is there an opportunity for you to work on self?
Yeah.
So I'm with you. You ready for number four?
Number four.
Are you trying to achieve greatness or avoid disappointment if you look at failures as lessons rather than losses?
Greatness. This is the easiest one of the Wait. Failures as what?
Lessons.
Oh.
Rather than losses.
Greatness. Because so many people are crippled by failure.
True.
Fear of failure.
True.
So like when you, if you truly, I mean, one of the things that I just truly believe in, that like I never lose, I learn. Now, funny enough, I've learned here recently that I suffer from FOMO. And that's kind of why sometimes I have so many things going on, because I get behind on so many stuff. So I'm like, I gotta catch up. But you can't, and this is gonna go to what I'm saying at the bottom. You can't have two things can always be true, but you can't always have two things at once, if that makes sense. Mm. Two things can always be true, but you can't always have two things at once. So when I say that I have FOMO, I also can't believe it, it's a contradiction if I believe that everything happens in time and for a reason. Okay. And the best that we can do is influence, you know, do our best at what we do.
Okay.
But like, I thoroughly believe everything happens for a reason.
I got a follow-up question then.
Okay.
Your coach, former athlete, what's the value of a person, a player, a team suffering a loss?
They learn from their mistakes. Sometimes you need that ass kicking there to snap you right, let you know that you ain't hitting on much.
Okay.
Sometimes you need that butt whooping to get coaches. Never forget it. One time we were playing a team. We were winning school. We were playing a 5A team, Booker T. 5A. They ended up going to the Final Four. And there was in a 1-2-2. I kept trying to tell the guys, you break the press in the center. They would not set up in a press break. So I sat my butt down. I called the timeout. I said, this is mid-second quarter. I said, listen, y'all ain't going to listen to me. I'm not going to be out here yelling. I'm going to sit down, let y'all get your ass kicked. And then we come back halftime down 18. Went back to the locker room, reiterated my point. They started doing it. Next, you know, we up 2. You see what I'm saying? So it's kind of like sometimes getting your teeth kicked in, you know, is what you need to get you to that next level if you take it as if you actually listen to the lesson.
And that's where, when I wrote this one down, I'm like, this could go either way. This is like the chicken or the egg conversation.
I think this is the most closed, this is the most slam dunk out of all four.
Really?
Yeah.
I feel like there are some people that they're wanting to still see their situation through rose-colored glasses. So instead of calling a thing, instead of calling a loss, you want to call it a lesson. Because you're really trying to avoid the disappointment of, you know what, that sucked. I lost in that moment. I did not win. Like, everything can't be a win is the point. So I see both sides. But for the people who are living in this false sense of reality that everything is a win, it's like, nah, you're not pursuing greatness. You are actually avoiding disappointment.
A win and a lesson is two different things.
They are. But if everything is a win, they are different things that produce the same outcome potentially, which is I still did good. And that's my point.
Well, to me, if you say you still sound good or you still did good, you sound as dumb as that person that walks around and hangs on to, I know my worth, when you get offered $15 an hour and you turn it down and you ain't got no job.
And you ain't got a job.
To me, that's you ain't got no job, but you turn it down. To me, that's ignorance. That ain't no win. That's you being dumb.
And so that's the line that I'm trying to paint. Like, is it working towards greatness if everything is a lesson?
And we got to assume that we're talking to high achievers and not a bunch of idiots, bro.
We're talking to everybody, though. We're talking to everybody.
Yeah, okay. All right. So I'm going to clean this up for y'all. Don't be a sorry ass and think you out here winning when you really losing, dummy. Okay? If I ain't talking to you, it don't apply. But if I am talking to you, you have to. But see, all of these questions, right? And really, this whole damn podcast comes down to self-reflection and perspective. And that's a lot of people ain't got it, bro.
Absolutely. So very easily, conversation, in these scenarios, you could be on one side of the line or on the other.
See, but that's why it goes back to that proverb that we talked about, I think, two examples, where you can't work in isolation. Because every time, every now and then, you need somebody to say, hey, dumbass. Like, if you ain't got nobody that you hear when they say, hey, stupid. But something wrong with
you. But society now is sensitive. You can't say that to people now. You can't call people, especially kids. You can't do that.
Shit.
Oh my gosh, we're gonna get canceled. We getting canceled. We getting canceled.
Yeah, I live in the world. One of the first things I say, first year of every class, first class every semester, is I love y'all. Like, some of y'all I don't even know yet. I love y'all. I love my mama, right? My mama, I will bust any of y'all here for my mama. But if my mama was in my class and didn't do my work, I'll give her ass an F2. So, y'all don't play with me. I love y'all, though, but... You know, that's just, it is what it is.
I'm going,
you don't do what you need to do, I'm a mollywop that grade. My F dance is this. They know what time it's up. Like, yep, it's that time. I ask any of my students, they know the dance. F. They know the dance. Tell you, you're going to get it. So if you ain't got somebody that you listen to, that can get your attention, and they don't have to call you an idiot. I'm gonna call you an idiot, but somebody may say, hey, bro, that's not a good idea. Hey, bro, slow down.
Perfect. Perfect segue then. The last and final one that I said in trying to determine which side of the line you're on, working towards greatness or avoiding disappointment, was you categorize critique and criticism as people just hating on your efforts.
Absolute mediocre. Is that an option?
Sure.
Dog. Yo, your man, Daniel Whitehouse, the last quarter of this year has been bussing my tail, bro. Has been, but I mean, bussing my butt. And just been taking it, bro. Like, one time he actually emailed me. He's like, man, yo, I might have came across a little tough. I tell him, nah, bro, we good. Like, I'm the type that if you tell me something I don't agree with, I'm going to tell you, like, yo, that's some bullshit. I don't agree with that or whatever, whatever. But, man, he's been busting my tail. And I think that is the key ingredient to all of this, along with something else that I'll fill you in, is, like, none of us are above critique or reproach. And if we go back to when we said you never learn, you think, I think the problem with that is a lot of times we're hypercritical of ourselves, so we need other people to feed us with perspective, to provide us with balance. The other part of this conversation, and I wrote this down yesterday, well, the last time we recorded, and I meant to talk about it last time, but we never got to it. When you talk about, what were the two words you used? Greatness and what?
Disappointment.
You can't survive and thrive at the same time. You cannot survive and thrive
at the same time.
At the same time.
It's got to be one or the other.
You got to pick a side.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be times where you're going to be in survival mode. I just need to get through, to regroup, just to get out. But you are not thriving if you're just trying to survive.
Yeah.
If you're just doing the minimum, if you're just doing the low-hanging fruit, you're surviving.
Yeah.
You can't thrive. And I wrote down the definitions.
You got to call a thing a thing.
A thing a thing.
Yeah.
A thing is definitely a thing. So can you pull it up real quick?
Definition of survive?
Yeah.
I got you. Definition of survive: continue to live or exist, especially in spite of danger or hardship.
In spite of danger. Now look up the definition of thrive.
Okay. Thrive: grow or develop well or vigorously, prosper, flourish.
Vigorously. You see what I'm saying? So those words, they don't, you know what I'm saying? So you can't survive and thrive at the same time. And when you use the word greatness or disappointment, it's just about a mindset.
Yeah.
Of, you know, that's why that 10X rule is so important. Because it's just kind of like, are you going to be up to 10X everything? Probably not.
Nope.
But if you shoot for 10X, you may end up with 7X.
Yeah.
But if you only shoot for 1X, you might get half an X. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Why not? It's to your point, it's a mindset. It's about perspective. It's about self-awareness, right? It's about picking a side, standing for something or falling for anything.
Anything,
right?
Yep.
And what people don't realize, and why I wanted to have this conversation, is how close greatness and disappointment are to each other.
Them lines, bro.
People think that those two things on a spectrum are on opposite ends, and they are really, literally on the other side of the line from each other.
I almost said something wild. Don't worry about me.
I appreciate it. We already queued to be canceled. Don't just
But those lines, yes.
Yeah. And so it's like, when you think about then what control you have over your situation as an individual, that's where it's important to understand you have control over your effort, your attitude, your response to feedback, criticism, and critique, right? Mm-hmm. It's realizing what you have control over in these various scenarios and situations that's going to pop up, that's going to determine which side of the line you want.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But you said you had something before I started these five, before I gave you these five, you said you had something else to tell me.
Yeah, it was the survive and thrive.
Okay, got it. Okay.
It was the survive and thrive. Now you see how it kind of works together.
It does. It
and
does.
We hit that thing again where we're just both talking about the same thing, kind of, sort of.
We're synced, man. I don't know what to tell you. Like, folks, we was earlier tonight. Again, we don't talk about these topics ahead of time. A lot of times it could be hours before we come on air. I text him tonight's topic. He calls me literally as the send button is confirmed and say, I literally was texting you in that moment and your text come through.
I was asking about the topic. I was like, bro. Yep, literally.
It was so like his spirit spoke to me. But hey, we've been friends for a long time. That's bound to happen. Like, you know, I can translate, you know, almost anything that you say. Almost anything. Not everything. Almost anything. I need another 20 years to get anything.
I pray that we get it, bro. Plus some.
Yeah, you and me both. You and me both. So as we try to do, if you had to sum up what this conversation was meant to give to our audience, what was the purpose of today's conversation for you? Put a pretty bow on it.
Perspective and self-reflection. Perspective and self-reflection and engaging where you are in your endeavors.
Mm-hmm.
Engaging where you are with your endeavors. The most valuable thing you can ever do for yourself is be honest with yourself. You know,
yep.
you know, be honest with yourself and really, really spend some time in that room by yourself, just really, and not being overly critical, just being honest. Like,
yes.
Reading this book called Relentless by Tim Grover.
Yeah,
great book. I actually recommend Winning instead of this one because it just kind of overlaps. But he has like three characteristics of a person, and he said the highest level that you could possibly be is a cleaner. And when a cleaner makes a mistake, they don't make any excuses. They don't give any reasons. They just simply say, I effed up.
Time to clean it.
Openly and honestly. And get to fixing.
Yeah.
And I think that we all just need that level of honesty with ourselves.
Perfect.
And if we get it from somebody else, that we need to face it and own up to it.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
How about you?
I agree. It's that. It's self-awareness is perspective. And so if you can find a way to increase your self-awareness, your emotional intelligence of self, right, that will broaden your perspective on a lot of different situations and scenarios and people and allow you to navigate these situations much better, much more effective. So, yeah, I'm with you. Footwork. Anything new you're working on? Anything exciting that you've done to get you closer to your goals? That's what footwork is about.
A lot going on, a lot exciting. But you know what? I messed up the quote. I think for the next couple weeks with footwork, I'm not going to announce the traveling. I'm just going to announce the arrivals. So when it's done, y'all will hear about it. Just continue to check out the socials. At Creating Hustle 1440, TikTok, YouTube, Facebook, and you'll catch me.
That's what's up.
That would support the cause.
That's what's up.
Like, follow, subscribe.
That's what's up. One step, one thing I've done, I shared this with you. I bought a planner for 2024 so I can write down my goals. If you are watching this, you can't see what it says, but there's a quote that from Nelson Mandela. It always seems impossible until it's done. I actually bought my whole family planners for 2024, and I'm excited about it because I think that it is extremely important to visually see your goals as you are working towards them and to see the steps or the actions you need to take that align with getting you to those destinations. And so I want to make sure that I do that for myself before I begin helping others do it for themselves. So that's what I'm working on. That's the one thing that got me closer, is going to get me closer to my goals for 2024. Outside of that, people, Purpose Addicts, this upcoming season is about to be dope. We got some new things that we actually have confirmed that we are doing, and we can't wait to share it with you. As always, if you haven't already, like, subscribe, share the show. You can find us on any platform that you enjoy listening to podcasts. That's where we at. Also, check out YouTube, and there'll be some more content coming on TikTok and some of the other social media platforms. I'm Coach Vic. That's Doc. As always, live life on purpose. We out.
And I think a lot of times, everybody's not going to understand your vision, your walk, your purpose, your desires, your dreams, your goals. And they don't have to, because I'm going to tell you a secret. Everybody ready? It's yours. It don't belong to them. It ain't they teeth to brush, ain't they armpits to put deodorant on. It's yours.
This message is for anyone who is not answering the calling on their life. I want you to take note of something. That one thing, that one talent, that one gift you have, that idea that could give birth to a solution that possibly brings harmony to the world, will never get the chance to breathe life if you continue to let fear kidnap you from your future. That's right, I said, if you continue to let fear kidnap you from your future. Too many times we settle for good things when we can have God things. And purpose is a God-given gift. Not everybody fulfills their purpose. Not everybody discovers it. Not everybody walks in it. But if you're willing to give up the good things to get to the God things, well, baby, I promise you, purpose, that's for you.
failure is a part of success. I heard that somewhere. I didn't make that one. Failure is a part of success.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know I'm saying? You could try 10 times and you may not get it to your ninth, but what if that ninth try or that 10th try is the one that gets you that million? Instead of looking at what we have on the inside and utilizing our tools, we always look in other places and try to pull from here, pull from there, when most of the time it's right here inside of you. There are no problems. There's only solutions. Let's just be in a habit of fixing things or finding a way out.
My favorite quote that I learned is that fear does not stop death, it stops life. It stops us from living. And I need you. We all need you to live. Will you do it?